And that's why 42 years later, I still hold on to my tradition, because my aunt and uncle in Pittsburgh, my uncle was born over here in 1902, and he lived in Pittsburgh area, and he was awesome gardener, and, you know, with the trees and everything. I mean, you know, he can do anything. And when I finally met him, I was 15 years old, and he is the guy that got caught and got expelled from Czechoslovakia. This is the beginning of my book, okay? So Uncle John and I were like this. Uncle Mike, my other uncle, he lived in New York. He was a chef. I mean, he was a big chef, okay? Working in the, you know, all the Jewish wedding places. He was one of the first people on that Times Square when they started the open cooking, frying chicken and everything on a Broadway, okay? I have a picture of him in his, he was tall, handsome man. So I have a picture of him. And then when you look in the background, you see all the, you know, the Broadway people with the fur coats and everything. And one thing that I always really, you know, laugh about, it says over there, milk-fed southern fried chicken. Yeah. So they're always doing that to them New Yorker to sell them something. Milk-fed southern fried chicken. One of these days when I make, you know, I'll show you that, and I'm laughing my head off, okay?
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's talk about the traditions you stick to on the four-day Easter celebration. How does it begin?
Okay. The Easter tradition begins with Good Friday. Well, everybody knows, you know, we have a Lent. And then Good Friday, when we started the preparations for the weekend. Friday afternoon, of course, you know, you went to church. And Friday evening was like very, very peaceful time. You didn't do much, you know, just sit around the house. Well, basically because you were starving after all these days, and especially on a Good Friday, our ma, who is 93 years old, and she still, every year, did you go to church, Palm Sunday, and did you go for the confession, okay? 93, I still get those questions, all right? Very traditional woman. So then Saturday, we start baking. And both men and women, because ladies would work in a kitchen, you know, preparing the eggs, breads, and pastry. Now, the guy's job, like my father, he would prepare the meat. You see, we killed the pig between Christmas and New Year, coldest time of a year. We killed the pig, made the kobasi, ham, everything. So everything was done, you know, in the house. It was smoked and put away. But now for the Easter, like in our tradition, and this is Slovak tradition, it's not much different from the Polish or Yugoslav. It just kind of depended, you know, what you had. In the areas where they had more lamb, that's why you see the part of it, you know, especially Serbo-Croatian and, you know, Yugoslavs, they would add more lamb. Maybe Central Slovakia would have a lamb too. Well, Eastern Slovakia, because we really didn't have many sheep over there. But, you know, you would still get some lamb and also mainly ham and kobasi. And my father, who was awesome cook. See, all guys in our family, you know, we're all engineers by a trade, but we love to cook. And my dad would do also the special meal where, you know, he would take ham, pork, and veal. And he would mix that up, sort of like on a style of a meatloaf. And of course, you know, he would, you know, a couple eggs, a little butter and seasoning, everything else. And all of us till today are sorry that we never, ever learned recipe from him. And those are the only recipe that I don't know how to do. And every Easter, we talk about our father and how sorry we are we did it. So you see, the ladies were doing inside baking, men were preparing, you know, the ham, the kobasi, and the lamb. So that took part most of the Saturdays, and of course, church. But now comes the wonderful part. Sunday morning, you made a basket, and in a basket, you put the Easter bread, you put lamb, you put ham, you put eggs, then hrutka, H-R-U-T-K-A, and that is the mixture. I make this every year. I still, as a matter of fact, I gotta do it tomorrow. And you just take a quarter of milk, dozen eggs, beat them, and you have to have a double boiler, okay? Because otherwise everything will stick. And that takes about an hour. You're standing over there then mixing. Then when everything thickens, then you put it into cheesecloth, and you keep turning until all the whey gets out. So then you just let this hang, you know, for a little while when it's a cool weather, because see, Slovakia is dry, no humidity, see? So everything, that's why everything can sit, you know, out. So you let that drip, and then I take that whey, and instead of using, you know, the water or the milk for the Easter bread, you use the whey as a base, okay? So then you add flour, a couple eggs, and now it would be the variety, and always would be the raisins, okay? So you add the raisins to your bread. Now, picture seven people in the house and five hungry kids. So when we're talking about the breads for Easter, I would honestly have to say it would be like about four or five pounds in a sort of like a big pan, okay? And my ma would have to make about three or four of those loaves. At that time, we still had, if you ever see the regular brick Italian oven, how they make pizza, well, we still had that, okay? So my ma, when she was making a regular bread, and again, they were like good 4 or 5 pound bread, because bread is the staple of your diet in Slovakia, basically was, you know. Today they already got McDonald's and diabetes, you know. Before there was no diabetes because there was no McDonald's. Excuse me, McDonald's, I shouldn't say that. Let the bad diet, let's put it this way, okay? So our ma would mix all of that stuff and make all these breads, because you take that 5 pound bread, you cut it in half, and it isn't much between seven people, you know. We're all growing boys. Three boys, two girls, you know, so that doesn't go too far, okay? And we would not do basically any sweets. You know, we would have the orechovnik, makovnik, you know, patica and poppy seeds. We would have that. But basically, in our family, nobody likes sweets. And my ma used to get so mad, because she was awesome. She is, you know, not anymore, but she was awesome cook. And she would go and make all those sweets, and nobody would eat them. Because we just preferred the bread, kobasi, you know, those regular stuff. So, but here is the main part of Easter. So everything is done, and then you prepare your Easter basket. You put a little chunk of ham, kobasi. Kobasi, because of our rings of kobasi, that stays for togetherness. Eggs, of course, egg, beginning of the life, springtime, horseradish, and beets, sweet and bitter, just like life, okay? When you think everything's going just fine for you, somebody cuts you at your toes, I mean at your knees, okay? So that's bitterness that goes in life. And then, of course, you add salt, necessity in life, and butter. So all of this you put in an Easter basket. And, of course, the whole town, because 90% of the people in town, like my hometown, were Catholics. The other was either Eastern Orthodox or Russian Orthodox, but it was the same thing. So, of course, everybody would try to outdo. People are no different anywhere else. Everybody always competes with the Joneses, okay? But they, you know, you should see those Easter baskets. And they were all hand-weaved. Yeah, like my father did, you know, the one that we had. And my mother did all of the, they would call them like doilies. And all of that stuff, again, was handmade. And again, that was used only once a year. So then everybody would prepare that. And 7 o'clock in the morning, just picture 200 people over there with all these baskets, okay? So the aroma alone would just kill you. After all this Lent, okay, where you didn't see a piece of meat, after the blessing was done, and it was literally mad rush home. Unbelievably, for us, you know, as a kid and even as a young adult, okay, it was unbelievably funny just watching everybody just mad rush home. But the minute you got home and we were sitting over there and waiting, okay, and that's where you went into the feast after all that Lent. Then 11 o'clock, you would go to church. And again, for Easter, you get new suit, shirt, tie, socks, underwear, and a shoes. From top to bottom, all brand new for Easter. And you will outfit it. And of course, the girls will get the pretty dresses. So then 11 o'clock, you go to church, and it was a big, long mess because it's the awakening. It was just awesome, and the weather would be like today, beautiful, sunny. You know, so it was just so full in enjoyment. And I guess that's why the Easter is a very, very special holiday for me. I love Christmas, but I love Easter better because I still dress up for Easter, yes. And going to St. Paul over there, we're going to go Saturday to Cathedral. Andre lives on a Grand Avenue, so he's not too far from there. And I always want to go there, but I was way too fat before, you know. So now I lost weight. I got beautiful outfit on me. Jean's going to get dressed. And that's where you're going to go. You're going to go to church. Rest of the day after you eat, then you come home. And now, mind you, see, there is no cooking, okay? Because all the food that was prepared, you know, the ham, the kobasi, the cheese, the horseradish, everything was there. So there is no more after breakfast. There is no more like lunch or dinner. No, you just, you know, you're hungry, you just eat. So that's how the Sunday afternoon. And then people in groups, because we had a beautiful park. And on a Palm Sunday, see, everything is already in bloom. So then Sunday afternoon, you change into different clothes and you go spazier. Okay? Walking. You go for a walk. See? So the older people, they would sit in, like in front of the house. We had no porches, you know, but older people, you know, would sit on a benches in front of the houses, and younger people, you know, all go for a walk. We go in a park, you know, and just enjoy the beautiful, you know, Sunday afternoon. And here comes Monday. Monday morning, you would hook up with your group, okay? Say the little boys, 8, 10 years old, they would have a bottle of perfume. And they go to the houses where there were girls their age, and they would sprinkle them with a perfume. And then, you know, the ladies or, you know, a guy would give them, you know, a quarter, a dollar, whatever, okay? So those guys go all over, you know, to there, but they knew the girls is over there. So that was different. And now the older guys, okay, Then, again, usually it was be 3-4 of us in our group. So, you know, there's a girl over there your age, or, you know, two years, you know, in between, something like that, you know, not exactly, you know. And so when you come, she would come outside, and there's a bucket of water, okay? And everybody throws a bucket of water on her. Yeah. It is a tradition that I don't think very, very many people figure out why it started like that, but it is. And today, people don't throw the buckets anymore. They just kind of splash, you know. You still come in the house, you still go for these visits on a Monday, but now you just take, you know, and you put your water hand, you know, in a cup of water and just kind of like sprinkle that. It's some type of a blessing for the girl, you know, that she may be gorgeous and wealthy and I don't know. I tried to find this out and kind of like different varieties of history, you know, of in a different sections of the country. So, and after you throw a few buckets of water on her, then of course you go in there, she goes in the house, dries up, I'm sure. She had like about 10 different outfits ready because the prettier the girl was, the more people will show up at her house, okay? So then she would just like clean up, you know, go and change her outfit and come out. And it would be, you know, and the tables were set. And it was the best of the best. To give you an idea, sort of like American style, okay, it's no hamburger and hot dog pitney, okay? We're talking shrimp and lobster and scallops, okay? There is no regular beer, okay? We're talking imports. I mean, again, who competes with the Joneses? Nobody, you know? So everybody would put that on. And so Monday would end like that. So that is a day number 4, okay? Tuesday, if you were home, because everything is closed, by the way, and you know, we can check. Stock market will be closed Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, okay? And then Tuesday, have the town has a hangover, you know, from drinking in all these different houses. So then the mother would step in. And you were up early in the morning. And number 2 shovel was waiting, and you start hoeing. There was no rototiller, okay? You were the rototiller. And like in our house, we had about 1 acre of land, but it wasn't in one section. It was like chunk over here, chunk, you know, over there. You know, house is different set up a house, and you know, you have that chunk over here, chunk over there, chunk over there. Because in different areas, we plan different stuff, you know? Kind of like a worst part, you would put your potatoes in and cabbage, you know? The stuff that it's kind of, you know, like especially cabbage, you know, goes over there till September, okay, October when you pick up. And now, you know, the closest to the house would be your everyday use. Because we were 100% self-sufficient throughout the whole year, literally. So the ground got turned over, and you had to, you know, make form everything. And, of course, you plant, you know. You plant your onions, okay? Your cucumber, I mean, the radishes, everything. And our uncle from Pittsburgh, every, you know, spring, he sent us all the stuff from States, yeah. And guess what? I cannot send this over there anymore because it's European Union. And whatever stuff I sent to them a couple years ago, they confiscated. the best Iowa corn. You know, this sweet corn, my brother died when I brought that corn first, you know, when I went for the visit, you know, after the night, he planted, but then he needed, so I sent lots of other stuff over there, but it got confiscated at the costume, yeah, because according to European Union, you know, you cannot send that in, yeah. So you see, so we would, yeah, that's Tuesday right there, was a nice day, and your mother... Mother knows best, right? She figures she's going to cure the old hangover real fast, okay? Because, you know, it's everybody drinking, different house you went. So over here, this guy had a best scotch, you know, that guy had the best whiskey, best everything. So in every house, you would have a shot and go on to next. So then next day, like, you know, I said, you would really, really, really work it off, yeah.
Thanks, Jan.
You're welcome.